الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous classes we have discussed a number of issues with regards to the first three conditions that the author he has mentioned whenever he has stated in the beginning of this treatise شروط الصلاة تسعتون, that the conditions of the salah are nine: الإسلام والعقل والتمييز. And we have taken these first three conditions in our previous classes with a bit of brief detail. In our previous class we were discussing the issue of التمييز, and this is that the child must reach the age of distinguishment. And specifically with regards to the issue of salah that has been set and prescribed by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the narration that the author he had mentioned, مُرُوا أَبْنَاءَكُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ لِسَبْعِ سِنِينَ, that you should order your children to establish the prayer at the age of seven. At the age of seven. So with regards to this, there is an important point I need to add to that which has preceded, and that is again to emphasize that the order here is for the guardian and for the parent. So the obligation here is upon the parent. As for the salat, it's not obligatory upon the child, but it is obligatory upon the parent, upon the guardian, to order the child, and to order the child yani in a manner of encouragement, not by forcing them or with harshness or with rudeness. But this order here, this also includes the order for the parent to teach the child. So at this same age is the age whenever the child will begin to learn the prayer. So the child should be ordered to pray at the age of seven. So along with that is the order to teach the child how to pray as well. So one will not just let the child loose and tell him to pray and never teach him how to pray. Rather, he will be taught how to praise. And also this necessitates likewise that the child will be taught as well how to make the condition of the prayer, which is the tahara, and how to make the wudu and the likes like this. So along with the obligation of ordering the child to pray at the age of seven is likewise the obligation of teaching the child how to pray. Teaching the child how to pray properly, instructing the child and showing him in the house before the parent will bring the child who, for example, reached the age of seven and brings him to the masjid and tells him to line up in the ranks. Before he does all of this, it would have preceded that in the home he had taught him. He had directed him, he had showed him that you stand here, you recite the Fatiha here, you'll start teaching him the Fatiha, so on and so forth. He would have learned these affairs. He would have learned these affairs before. He would have begun these affairs yani in the home with the family, with the father, with the mother, with the brother, with the sister, and the likes like this, learning the basic understanding of the prayer, not simply just ordering him to pray. The order for the parent or the guardian to order the child with the prayer, this is also an order for the parent to teach the child as well how to pray. So also the child will be taught likewise the tahara at this age as well. At this age as well, he can begin to learn these affairs. So he will not be ordered to pray while he does not know how to pray, and he will not be ordered to pray while he does not know how to make tahara, which is one of the greatest conditions of the prayer. Rather, he'll be taught these affairs along with the fact that he's being recommended and being encouraged to pray and not forced to pray. So these are some of the important points that people of knowledge they mentioned with regards to this condition, and as well those that have preceded. So at Islam wal-aql wa-tamyiz, we have seen that these are in general, these are conditions for the correctness and the acceptance of all of the actions of worship. So every action of worship, it must be performed by one who has fulfilled these conditions here, along with whatever other conditions are required for that particular action of worship. So al-Islam wal-aql wa-tamyiz shurutun li-sihhati kulli ibadah. These are conditions for the acceptance of every action of worship. After this, the author he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, ash-shartu ar-rabi', the fourth condition, رفع الحدث وهو الوضوء المعروف. And now the author he moves on to the fourth condition. We mentioned in the beginning the order that the author he mentioned them. Al Islam wal aql wa tamyiz, these have preceded. After that he mentioned رفع الحدث وإزالة النجاسة. رفع الحدث وإزالة النجاسة. So the fourth one and the fifth one, these two here are related to the issue of الطهارة. رفع الحدث is removing the حدث. Removing the hadith, which is a description that will come to a person whenever he has invalidated his wudu. Whenever he has invalidated his wudu, he will have with him a hadith. So this is something that will prohibit him from praying or performing any other action that the tahara is a condition for the correctness of that action, like a tawaf, and likewise touching the mushaf and the likes. So this is raful hadith. And the other condition that he mentioned, number five, is izalatu al-najasa, removing the impurities. So the hadith is a spiritual affair, something that is the description in the one who is upon the hadith, then he's in a state of ritual impurity, a ritual impurity. And as for the izalatu al-najasa, which is the condition number five, then this is a physical type of impurity. This is a physical type of impurity. So for the correctness of the salah, both of them have to be removed. Both of them have to be removed. So the point now is that these two conditions here, Shart al-Rabi' wal-Khamis, they are both included in the issue of al-Tahara. In the issue of al-Tahara. We take them individually as the author, he has mentioned them, rahimahullahu ta'ala. But before that, we take a brief introduction with regards to the issue of al-Tahara, because of its importance and likewise because of the benefit that we hope from that, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the people of Nar, as they mention al-Tahara, lugatan, al-Nazafatu wal-Nazahatu an al-Aqdari al-Hissiyya wal-Ma'nawiyya. Al-Nazafatu wal-Nazahatu an al-Aqdari al-Hissiyya wal-Ma'nawiyya. Al-Tahara, linguistically, it means purification. Purification. So linguistically in the Arabic language, النَّظَافَ وَالنَّزَاحَ عَنِ الْأَقْذَارِ, yani that a person, he would cleanse himself and remove himself and stay away from all of the filth. الْحِسِّيَّ وَالْمَعْنَوِيَّ, الْحِسِّيَّ وَالْمَعْنَوِيَّ, الْحِسِّيَّ, yani the tangible and the physical filth. The tangible and the physical filth, like urine and like feces, أَكْرَمُكُمْ اللَّهِ, وَالْمَعْنَوِيَّ, and likewise the spiritual filth as well. The spiritual filth as well. So a person who cleanses himself and purifies himself and stays away from feces and stays away from the urine, or if it gets on his clothing and he takes the means to avoid that, and if it falls on his clothing or on his body, he also takes the means to remove it and to purify his clothing from that and to purify his body from that, and likewise any his surroundings, so on and so forth, then this is considered a tahara. This is considered a tahara, and this type of person is mutatahir or tahir. And he is somebody who is upon tahara and cleanliness. He's upon purity and cleanliness. Likewise, a person who avoids and stays away from shirk, major shirk and minor shirk, a person who turns away from riya, showing off, and sum'a, wanting to be heard. All of this is likewise a type of tahara. A person who purifies himself from jealousy and envy, he purifies his soul. يُطَهِّرُ نَفْسَهُ مِنَ الْأَخْلَاقِ الرَّذِيلَةِ, that he'll purify his soul, يُزَكِّي نَفْسَهُ مِنْ الْأَخْلَاقِ الرَّذِيلَةِ الرَّدِيئَةِ, from the lowly manners and the lowly conduct, like having jealousy and envy for others, and also having hatred and animosity towards the believers, and having bad thoughts about the believers, or being arrogant, or being self-amazed with one's own actions, and the likes like this, purifying oneself from the likes of these manners and conducts, then this is also considered a tahara. This is also considered a tahara. So linguistically, a tahara includes both affairs. And the second affair is the major affair, the purification of the soul and the purification of the heart. And this is what is discussed whenever we discuss the issues of at-tawheed and aqidah and the likes like this, the purification of the soul with the proper creed and proper belief, and purifying the deen and making the actions entirely and solely for the sake of Allah alone, and the likes like this, and purifying one's soul from all these foul and lowly manners of jealousy and envy and hatred and showing off and wanting to be seen and wanting to be heard and to have position and status in this worldly life, and showing preference and love to the worldly life over the hereafter, and being self-amazed and being deceived by one's own actions and the likes like this, and being arrogant and proud, so on and so forth. All of these are those filthy and lowly manners that one, he must purify his soul from. And this is called a tahara likewise. Tazkiyatu nafsi a tahara is a type of purification. But what is intended in this chapter here when we're discussing the issue of a tahara for salah, condition from the condition of salah, this one is a specific type of tahara. And the people of Nar, as they mentioned, رَفُ الْحَدِثِ وَمَا فِي مَعْنَاهُ وَزَوَالُ الْخَبِثِ. This is the definition of a tahara with regards to yani the issue that we're discussing now, yani in the terminology of the scholars of jurisprudence. In the terminology of the scholars of jurisprudence, a tahara, it is two aspects, رَفُ الْحَدِثِ وَمَا فِي مَعْنَاهُ وَزَوَالُ الْخَبِثِ. This is the definition, رَفُ الْحَدِثِ وَمَا فِي مَعْنَاهُ وَزَوَالُ وَالزَّوَالِ الْخَبِثِ, to remove the hadith and that which has the same understanding as the hadith, and likewise removing the impurities, the physical impurities. So now, in order to understand this definition properly, we have to understand the reality of the hadith. So we know the definition of a tahara, رَفْعُ الْحَدِثِ وَمَا فِي مَعْنَاهُ وَالزَّوَالُ الْخَبِثِ. So now we say, what is a hadith? What is the hadith? So a hadith, the people of Nar, as they mentioned, وَصْفٌ قَائِمٌ بِالْبَدْنِ وَصْفٌ قَائِمٌ بِالْبَدْنِ يَمْنَعُ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ وَنَحْوِهَا مِمَّا يُشْتَرَطُ لَهُ الطَّهَارَةِ. وَصْفٌ قَائِمٌ بِالْبَدْنِ, it's a description that will be inside the body. It's a description that will be established in the body. وَصْفٌ قَائِمٌ بِالْبَدْنِ يَمْنَعُ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ, it will prohibit the salah from being accepted. It will prohibit the salah from being accepted. وَنَحْوِهَا مِمَّا يُشْتَرَطُ لَهُ الطهارة, and that which is like the salat or similar to it, from that which at-tahara, or purification, is a condition for. So this is the hadith. So in general, we will say an example of a hadith is passing gas. The person who passed gas, now he has brought the hadith. So now he's in a state of ritual impurity. A person who had passed urine, or he had relieved himself, yani, and the likes, number one or number two, then he has a hadith with him, and in this manner, he is in a state of ritual impurity. So this is the hadith, and this is what happens whenever there's a hadith. So the hadith, it must be removed. رَفُ الْحَدِثِ وَمَا فِي مَعْنَاهُ. رَفُ الْحَدِثِ وَمَا فِي مَعْنَاهُ. So we know the hadith now. It has to be removed. And the hadith, likewise, is two types. حَدِثٌ أَصْغَرْ وَحَدِثٌ أَكْبَرْ. حَدِثٌ أَصْغَرْ وَحَدِثٌ أَكْبَرْ. A minor hadith and a major hadith. A minor hadith and a major hadith. So the minor hadith is like passing urine or relieving oneself. Yani in number one or number two. And likewise, like passing gas, and also eating the meat of the camel, and also sleeping, yani sleeping a deep sleep, going into a deep sleep. And there are other issues likewise that we discussed. These are some examples of that. These are some examples of the minor hadith. If a person has a minor hadith and he wants to pray, he has to lift that. He has to remove that. And the obligation for removing the minor hadith is to make the wudu. And this is what the author is mentioning here. وَهُوَ الْوُضُوءُ رَفُ الْحَدِثِ وَهُوَ الْوُضُوءُ الْمَعْرُوفُ. Yani he's referring to now specifically the minor hadith. But likewise, no doubt, there's also a major hadith as well, and that will also have to be removed if it is present. So we discuss now al-hadith al-asgar, and as for al-hadith al-akbar, the major hadith, and this is from al-janaba. This is from al-janaba, or from al-hayd or al-nifas, from janaba. Yani a person being in the state of sexual impurity, or from the hayd, from the menses, or from the nifas, yani from the blood after giving birth, either from the blood of the menses, or from the blood of giving birth, or from being in a state of sexual impurity, So the one of these affairs have occurred with him. Now he is upon a major hadith. And the obligation in removing this hadith is al-ghusl. Is to make the legislative ghusl and bathing the entire body. So the one who has the minor hadith, the obligation to remove that is to make wudu. And the one who has the major hadith, the obligation to remove that is to make the ghusl. So this is the issue of رَفُ الْحَدِثِ وَمَا فِي مَعْنَاهُ. رَفُ الْحَدِثِ وَمَا فِي مَعْنَاهُ, to remove the hadith and that which has the meaning of that. So this is the definition of at-tahara, of the legislative understanding of purification. The legislative understanding of purification, removing the hadith. removing the hadith and also that which has the same meaning of that. So for example, whenever a person he has a minor hadith and then he makes wudu, it's from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to wash the body parts three times. And except for the head, because the head is not washed, rather it is wiped. But as for those body parts that they're washed, then they're washed three times. This is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll find that the obligation, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, when we move to the next portion, the obligation is to wash these body parts one time. And in this manner, the hadith has been removed. Rufi al-hadithu bil-ghasri al-awwal. The hadith is removed in the first washing. But the second washing is considered tahara, and so is the third washing. But there's no hadith being removed. The hadith is already moved in the first washing. But now he's washing a second time and a third time because this is the sunnah. Is the second washing considered tahara? Is the third washing considered tahara? Yes, it's considered tahara. So therefore, the most complete and concise definition is to say, رَفُ الْحَدِثِ وَمَا فِي مَعْنَاهُ رَفُ الْحَدِثِ وَمَا فِي مَعْنَاهُ Removing the hadith which occurred in the first washing and that which has the meaning of that likewise, or that which is included along with that ruling, and that would include the second washing and the third washing. And this is what is the second washing and the third washing. This is وَمَا فِي مَعْنَاهُ وَمَا فِي مَعْنَاهُ رَفِ الْحَدِثِ It has the same meaning as removing the hadith. Similar like that. Likewise, تَجْدِيد الْوُضُوء Tajdeed al-wudu. Somebody, for example, he made wudu at dhuhr time. And he prayed dhuhr with that wudu. And then he kept his wudu all the way till asr time. He does not have a hadith with him. He's upon wudu. But it's a sunnah for him, and yujaddida wudu'ahu. It's a sunnah for him. It's recommended for him that he will renew his wudu for the new prayer. For the new prayer, which is the asr prayer. It's a sunnah for him, but not obligatory. So here, there's no hadith there in the first place. Whenever he's renewing the wudu, it's called tajdeed. To renew the wudu. So he already has wudu. He does not have a hadith. So is tajdeed the wudu, is this called tahara? Huh? Naam, it's called tahara. And it is included in the definition of a tahara in the statement of the fuqaha, وَمَا فِي مَعْنَاهُ رَفْوُ الْحَدِثِ وَمَا فِي مَعْنَاهُ رَفْوُ الْحَدِثِ وَمَا فِي مَعْنَاهُ So all of this is considered tahara. So this here is an action of worship. Barakallah fikum. So all of this is considered an action of worship. The one time is an obligation. Washing it one time, for example, is an obligation. And other than that is a sunnah. So it will be even more perfect. It will be perfected in a greater manner. And the reward will be greater. So indeed it's included in tahara. It's something beloved to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Likewise, renewing the wudu in this manner. Renewing the wudu for another obligatory prayer. A person, he already has wudu, but then he prayed with that wudu before an obligatory prayer, and now he was going to pray another obligatory prayer. So it's a sunnah for him to renew his wudu. And this is a type of tahara. And it is an action that is pleasing to Allah. And indeed, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ And Allah, He loves those who repent to Him, and He loves those who purify themselves. And this is an indication to that which has preceded both aspects of At-Tahara. Allah, He loves those who purify their souls with sincere repentance and turning away from shirk and disbelief and hypocrisy and sins and the lowly ways and manners. And He loves those who purify themselves physically, purifying themselves by making the wudu and by making the ghusl, and likewise keeping their body and their clothing clean and the places that they reside in, so on and so forth. So this is the first aspect of At-Tahara. This is what the author is referring to here in Ash-Shart Ar-Rabi'. Raful Hadith. So this is the first aspect of At-Tahara. The second aspect is Wazawalu al-Khabith. And removing the filth. And this is what the author he's referring to in Ash-Shart al-Khamis, the fifth condition. Wazawal al-Khabith. Whenever he says wa izalatu najasa. The fifth condition, the author he said, izalatu al-Najasa, removing the Najasa. So the khabith is najasa. Al-khabith wa najasa. النجاسة. So زوال الخبث, this is that the any for the tahara, the najasa, it has to be removed. So the feces or the urine and the likes like this, or anything that's considered itself to be najis, it has to be removed. It has to be removed with water or with anything else that will remove it. With water or anything else that will remove it. But in this expression that the people of knowledge, they use, barakallah fikum, in this definition, rafu al-hadith wa zawalu al-khabith. Rafa'a is a verb that requires someone to perform the action, a fa'il, and likewise the maf'ul bihi. And likewise the maf'ul bihi, and it's called al-fi'l al-muta'addi. But as for zawal al-khabith, zawal min zala, and zala is fi'lun lazimun, fi'lun lazimun. So we have a benefit from here that is derived from understanding the Arabic language. And this is a ruling in the religion, and showing us the importance of striving to learn the Arabic language, and nahw and sarf and balagha and so on and so forth. So raful hadithi, the people of knowledge mentioned, there must be an intention for this. Raful hadithi, a person, he has to intend this. Yani yarfa'u hadathahu bin niyyah. Yarfa'u al-hadith bin niyyah. Yanwi and yarfa' al-hadith. We'll find that this is a condition from the conditions of wudu and niyyah, that he has the intention to remove the hadith. That he has the intention to remove the hadith. As for the khabith, then there does not have, there's no, there, it's not a requirement to have an intention for it to be removed. So therefore, the people of Nanas, they use the terminology zuwal, zuwal al khabith, that the khabith will go away, the khabith will be removed, the khabith will be removed, whether a person he intended to remove it himself or it was removed even whenever he did not even know. Even whenever he did not even know. So if a person, for example, he had some a drop of urine on his clothing, akramakum Allah, then it's incumbent for him to remove that. It's incumbent for him to remove that. Either, so if he knew that and he removed it himself, then it goes away. Even if he forgot about it and he just left it, and then it was washed, somebody else removed it for him, then it goes away. The ruling is the same. Or even if there is urine fell on the ground, and then the wind blew dirt on it, and then the sun dried it up, and then eventually it just went away. It went away because of the environment. Then the ruling is the ruling is established. The tahara has occurred because removing the khabith, removing the impurities, the physical impurities, is not required to have an intention for that. So, however it's removed, if it's removed, the ruling is established. Alhamdulillah. So there's a difference between the two. So these are two different issues. One of them is physical and tangible, and one of them is a spiritual aspect. It's from the meanings and the ideas. It's something that is established in the body. So the al-hadith al-asghar yukumu bi a'dha al-wudu. Al-hadith al-asghar yukumu bi a'dha al-wudu. The minor hadith is established in the body parts of the wudu. It'll be in the body parts of the wudu, because the definition of the hadith, what is that? Wasfun qa'imun bil badin. Wasfun is a description. Qa'im, that's established in the body. Where is it at? The hadith al-asghar qa'imun bi'a'dha al-wudu. The minor hadith is established in the body parts here, in the body parts of wudu. That's why it will be removed by simply making wudu, and bringing water to the body parts of wudu in the legislative manner. In the legislative manner, that hadith will go away. As for the hadith al-akbar qa'imun bil badin kullihi. It's in the whole body. That's why he has to wash his whole body. In order for the hadith al-asghar to go away, he has to have. In order for the hadith al-akbar, the major hadith, to go away, he has to have the intention to remove that and then put water on his entire body. And put water on his entire body. He has to have the intention to do that and then put water on his entire body. In this manner, the major hadith will go away. So we have to understand the difference between the two. Removing the hadith, this is something that's in the body, you cannot see it. As for the khabith, and this is something that's outside of the body, and you can see it. And it's something physical. So for example, akramakum Allah, if a person, he went to the bathroom and he passed urine. There's two affairs happening here with regards to tahara. There's two affairs happening here with regards to tahara. If you pass urine, so now there is a hadith that had occurred. Ahdatha hadithan. The hadith occurred now because he passed urine, and likewise the urine is there in the place where it comes out. The urine is there on the body part, on the organ, where the place it comes out. So both of these, in order for the tahara to be established, which is a condition for the salat, and both aspects are a condition for the salat, al-rabi' wal-khamis, they both have to be removed. So there's a way to remove both of them. This is what he's talking about now. So the hadith has to be removed because of the urine coming out, and the urine itself has to be removed likewise. So this is called tahara. Rafu al-hadithi wa zawal al-khabith. Rafu al-hadithi wa zawal al-khabith. Wallahu a'lam, the author, he chose to use the other term, izalatul khabith, because now he's talking about the condition for salah itself. That this person, he needs to, if it's on him, he has to remove it. If it's on him, he has to remove it before he enters into the prayer. But as for in general, the khabath, it will be removed with in any manner that the actual the essence of that is removed. Any, whether it's with water or with wind or any other manner that it is removed, whether it's with an intention or without an intention, whether somebody did it or whether it was removed by the environment and the likes like this, then it's removed. As for the hadith. This is the khabith. As for the hadith, it's not removed except with an intention. It's not removed except with an intention. So this is some important issues here. So the author, he says, الشرط الرابع رفع الحدث. الشرط الرابع رفع الحدث. The fourth condition is removing the hadith. Now we know what is intended here. The author after that, he says, وَهُوَ الْوُضُوءُ الْمَعْرُوفُ. And this is the well-known wudu. So therefore, he's referring to, rahimahullah, to al-hadith al-asghar. Al-hadith al-asghar. Because if the one who has the hadith al-akbar, then the wudu is not going to remove that. So he's summarizing for us, or he's mentioning that which is most common, and making it easy and facilitated, and not going to details. But we will go to some of these details. But also... some of the fuqaha, they will mention a qaid here, which is very important and very beneficial in this issue. And they say about this condition here, the at-tahara, they will summarize the issue and both of these conditions in one word, at-tahara. At-tahara, yani the condition of at-tahara. So whenever we say, min shurut as-salah at-tahara, what do we understand from that? Rafu al-hadithi wa zawal al-khabith. Rafu al-hadithi wa izalatu al-najasa. That the condition, a condition for salah is tahara from both aspects. That he has to remove the hadith, and likewise the body and the clothing and the place that one is praying has to be cleaned. But the qaid, or the restriction, that some of the people of knowledge, they mention whenever they discuss this issue, they say at-tahara ma'a al-qudra. At-tahara tu ma'a al-qudra. To make tahara for the one who has the ability. And this is very important. Because maybe sometimes a believer, he will find himself in a situation where he does not have the ability. To make tahara. And some of the Muslims, they make a mistake here. And they will leave off the prayer. Because they know that at-tahara bino'ayha is a condition for the acceptance of the prayer by consensus of the ulama. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah la yakbaru salat ahadikum idha ahdatha hatta yatawadda." That indeed Allah, He does not accept the prayer of one of you if he makes the hadith until he makes wudu. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "La yakbaru Allah salatan bighayri tuhur." لَا يَكْبَرُ اللَّهُ صَلَاةً بِغَيْرِ طُهُورٍ. That Allah, He does not accept the prayer without tahara. Without tahur, yani without tahara. The first hadith is from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, muttafaqun alayhi. And the second hadith is from the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma in Sahih Muslim. So no doubt this is definitely a condition for the acceptance and the correctness of the prayer. لكن هذا شرط يكون مع القدرة. مَالْقُدْرَ مَالْ إِسْتِطَاعَ. And yet according to a person's ability. So the one who has the hadith, or the one who has with him najasa, he has either the spiritual impurity, the ritual impurity, or he has a physical impurity with him, it's incumbent for him to remove that. So if he has water, he has to use water. If he does not have water, or he's not able to use water for whatever the reason, then he will use tayammum. He'll use the pure dirt. The pure dirt to make tayammum. So the one who has water, he has to use water. The one who has water, but he is not able to use water for whatever the reason, maybe it would harm him, or the circumstance that he's in is harmful for him, then he will make tayammum in place of the water. And the one who doesn't have water, then he will make tayammum in place of the water. And the one who does not have water, nor does he have pure earth, to make tayammum with, then he will just pray in the manner that he is. He'll pray in the manner that he is. It's an obligation for him to pray on time, in the proper time, even if he's not able to remove the hadith, even if he's soiled in feces or in urine, even if he's soiled in feces or in urine, but he's not able to move. For example, maybe he is, maybe he's sick. Maybe he's sick in the hospital and there's no one who can purify him or clean him. And there's no one there to come and to make wudu for him. And if there's somebody that will make wudu for him, he will intend to make wudu, and somebody will come and put the water on his body parts. For example, he can't move, he's paralyzed. Somebody who's paralyzed, he cannot move. And there are believers that are like this. There are believers that are like this. May Allah cure the sick Muslims and grant all of us and our loved ones good health, and to make us from those who are thankful. From those who are thankful. Many believers are tried with the likes of these affairs. So some of them, they're facing this. He cannot move. So therefore, he will need somebody to make wudu for him. He'll make the intention and they'll put the water in the place that it goes. Or they'll need somebody to remove the najasa for them. But if they do not have that person to do that, and the time is going out, then they will pray how they are. Then they will pray how they are. They'll pray with the hadith. The hadith will be there. Or the najasa will be there, and they'll just pray in the manner that they are. So long as that the intelligence remains, the sound mind remains, that they have to pray. So it's not an excuse. They will not be able to say, oh, I have a hadith with me, or I have najasa on me, and the likes like this, so I'm not praying, I'm in the hospital, or I'm in this condition, or maybe sometime a person, he'll be chained or shackled, and he cannot move freely, or he cannot come out of his cell, or he doesn't have water, he doesn't have access to water, so on and so forth, and the likes like this, then he will pray in the manner that he is. He'll pray in the manner that he is in the proper time. So this is an important point. Yani the shart al-tahara ma'al qudra. Ma'a al-qudra, along with the ability. So the one who has the ability, no doubt the prayer will not be accepted, except if he uses the water. Or except if he doesn't have the ability to use the water, then he makes tayammum. And he will not be accepted in any other way. But the one who does not have the ability for this one or this one, then now he will pray in the manner that he is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. And fear Allah as much as you can. Is fear Allah, and fear Allah as much as you can. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. And that which I have ordered you to perform, then do it as much as you can. So the person who can do it, he must do it. And the person who cannot do it, then it falls from him, that right, but the prayer does not fall. The obligation of the salat does not fall. The obligation of removing the hadith or removing the impurities, the najasa, this falls. This falls, not the salat. The salat does not fall. The obligation of the prayer remains. In order for that connection to remain, and that right to be established, and that right to be established. So this is something that is very important. It's very important. So the author, he says, رفع الحدث وهو الوضوء المعروف. وهو الوضوء المعروف. And so he's going to talk about now the wudu. And he says, وموجبه الحدث. And that which requires or necessitates the wudu is the hadith. Is the hadith. So we have discussed this issue, the minor hadith and the major hadith, so on and so forth. So now, with regards to a shart al-rabi, with regards to the fourth condition, which is removing the hadith, the author, he's going to touch on a number of masa'id here, very important issues. The first one is going to mention the conditions of wudu. He's going to mention now that we're going to discuss now the conditions of al-wudu. يذكر المصنف رحمه الله هنا في شرط الرابع أربع مسائل مهمة تتعلق بهذا الشرط. Four issues that are very important related to this particular condition. The first one is شروط الوضوء. شروط الوضوء, the conditions of al-wudu. And he says that day وشروطه عشرة. And the conditions of wudu are 10. The conditions of wudu are 10. But whenever we go to number them, we'll see that it's as if, and Allah knows best, the author, he considered طهوريه ما وإباحته to be one condition. But in reality, there are two. So if we count them in more detail, we'll see that there are 11 conditions mentioned here. We'll see that there are 11 conditions here. So the 10th condition, the author, he mentioned, the 8th condition he mentioned, طهوريته ماء وإباحته. As if there are one condition, that the water, it must be pure, and likewise it must be lawful. But in reality, these are two different conditions. The water, it must be pure. This is one condition. And likewise, the water, it must be lawful. So if we count them as two conditions, we don't have 10, we have 11. We have 11. So this is a point here. And likewise, the author, he mentions furud al-wudu. Furud al-wudu. And this is a terminology that many of the people of knowledge, they use here. And what is intended by furud, yani arkan. The furud, that arkan. The arkan. We have discussed the arkan here. The word furud really is the plural of fard. The fard and the furud. Fard al-wudu, furud al-wudu, fara'id al-wudu. These are the obligatory actions. But what is intended by the word obligatory here is the arkan. The arkan. So the furud, they are arkan. They're actually part, they're obligatory actions that must be performed, and they are part of the actual wudu. And they're a part of the actual wudu. So the author, he mentioned that they are six. The author, he mentioned that they were six. If we go into detail, we'll find that they are eight. And then he mentioned likewise the issue of the wajib, wajibul wudu. Wajibul wudu, he mentioned that the wajib is one, the obligation is one. And then he moved on to the fourth mas'ala, and that is nawaqid al-wudu. Nawaqid al-wudu. So in this condition here, yani the author, he branched off because of its importance. And this is a very beneficial methodology likewise. Yani making the treatise still concise, but also it's inclusive and encompassing of the most important issues related to the topic. So again, in this condition, we discuss the conditions of wudu, and the pillars of wudu, and the obligation of wudu, and the invalidators of al-wudu. All of this is related to the condition number four, which is removing the hadith, tahara, ahsanta, removing the hadith, especially the specific aspect of tahara, removing the hadith. So again, the author, he mentioned ash-shartu rabi, rafu al-hadithi, wa huwa al-wudu al-ma'ruf. The fourth condition, removing the hadith, lifting the hadith. And it is the well-known al-wudu, the well-known ablution. Wa mujibuhu al-hadith. And that which requires and necessitates, and it makes this obligation, is al-hadith. Is al-hadith. Wa shurutuhu ashra. And its conditions are 10. Any of the conditions of wudu. So now the topic moves on here, and to branch off to the conditions of al-wudu. The conditions of al-wudu. So he says, al-islamu wal-aklu wa-tamiz. Al-islamu wal-aklu wa-tamiz. Again, these are those first three conditions that have preceded. And he mentioned them here again because wudu is ibadah. Wudu is an action of worship. So it has preceded that these are three conditions for the correctness and the acceptance of every action of worship. So therefore, since al-wudu is an action of worship, then likewise, al-islamu, wal-aqlu, wal-tamyiz are all shurut, conditions for the correctness of the wudu. So the issue is with regards to these conditions, they have preceded. Number four, he mentions an-niyya. What one-niyya? Wastishabu hukmiha بِأَلَّا يَنْوِيَ قَطْعَهَا حَتَّى تَتِمَّ طَهَارَتُهُ. So now he mentions the fourth and the fifth condition. وَالنِّيَّةِ. وَالنِّيَّةِ means the intention. وَاسْتِسْحَابُ حُكْمِهَا. And also that the person will keep that intention. He will carry that intention all the way until he finishes making the wudu. بِأَلَّا يَنْوِيَ قَطْعَهَا حَتَّى تَتِمَّ طَهَارَتُهُ. يعني, so here are two conditions here. The fourth one and the fifth one. The first one is النية. And the second one is istishabu hukmiha. An-niyya is the intention. And the second one is, the fourth one is an-niyya. And the fifth one is istishabu hukmiha. That a person, he will have the intention to make the wudu, and that intention will continue with him all the way until he finishes making wudu. And the author, he says, بِأَلَّا يَنْوِيَ قَطْعَهَا حَتَّى تَتِمَّ طَهَارَتَهُ. Meaning that he will not break his intention until he finishes making wudu. Until he finishes making wudu. So for example, if a person, he intended to make wudu, he came to make wudu. He started making the madmadh. He started washing his mouth and washing his nose and washing his face. And then whenever he gets to his hands, he says, "You know what? I'm not gonna make wudu now. It's not time for salat. Salat is later. I'm not gonna make wudu now." So then he turns away, and he's not going to make wudu. And then he remembers that he wants to read the Quran. So he needs to have wudu to touch the mushaf. So then he turns around and comes back. So he turns around and comes back. So what is the obligation for him now? Huh? He can just finish his hands and finish the wudu, or he has to start over. He has to start over because the niyyah, it has to be from the beginning to the end. He has to carry that intention from the beginning to the end, meaning he can't break the intention. He can't break the intention. So this person, he intended to make wudu. He began making wudu. Before he finished, he broke the intention. He broke the intention. So therefore, whenever he broke the intention, the action of worship has been invalidated. So then he wants to return back to the wudu. He's not able now to just continue from where he left off. We wouldn't say to him, continue where you left off. You stopped washing your hands. You know, finish washing your hands and then complete the wudu. You're all good. And maybe even it was just a moment. Maybe his face is still wet. For example, his face is still wet. He's got his hand wet and everything. But he turned away. In his heart, he turned, no, I don't want to make wudu now. I'm not going to make wudu. I will make wudu later because of this and that, whatever his reason may be. In any case, he cut his intention and turned away from that. And then he remembered, actually, he wants to make wudu. So then he came back and in his intention. So this will not be correct. This will not be correct because from the condition of the correctness of the wudu is an-niyyah wastishhabu hukmiha, that the ruling of the niyyah must continue with the person until he finishes, meaning that he will not break his intention until the tahara is completed. Until the tahara is completed. We understand that? This is what is intended by the fifth part. Yani, so that is clear. Istishhabu hukmiha. But the issue of the niyyah is important. The issue of the niyyah is important. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innamal a'malu binniyat." Innamal a'malu binniyat wa innamal likulli imri'in ma nawa. That the deeds, they are based upon the intentions, and every individual, he would have what he intended. So a person who intended to remove the hadith, and need to make wudu, then he would have wudu. He will have wudu. And so just to emphasize or to clarify or to remind, yani we were talking about tahara in general. And then the tahara is two aspects, and likewise there's a major hadith and a minor hadith, but the author, he's talking about now wudu. So now we're talking about the minor hadith, yani removing the minor hadith. We're talking specifically now about the conditions of wudu. So we don't want to mix in our minds that which has preceded with that which is coming. Everybody with me? Yani, so we're making wudu now, the conditions of wudu. So now if we're talking about a hadith, we're talking about a minor hadith. We're talking about a minor hadith because that is what is removed by the wudu. So a person who intended to make wudu, he intended to remove the hadith and he made wudu, then he has what he intended and his hadith would be removed. But somebody who intended, for example, to clean his body, he didn't intend to make wudu, then he's not going to have wudu. The hadith will not be removed. Somebody who was very hot, he wants to cool off. He's making wudu. He's doing the ritual of wudu, but then his intention is to cool off. He's very hot. He starts washing his hands, washing his face, so on and so forth. And his intention is just to cool down. So if he had a hadith, the hadith will not be removed. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِ مِرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. So this is an important point here. So the one who wants to have the wudu, then he has to have the niyyah. So what is intended here specifically in this chapter by the niyyah? What is intended by the niyyah here? رَفْعُ الْحَدِثِ نِيَّةُ رَفْعِ الْحَدِثِ. That the person, that the niyyah here, what is intended in the condition, and the condition for the from the conditions of wudu is an intention. What is intended by the intention here is to remove the hadith. So a person, he has to have the intention to remove the hadith. He has to have the intention to remove the hadith. So the intention, the people of Nara, as they mentioned in general, is in two aspects or two types: a niyyatu naw'ani, a niyyatu نوعاني. The niyyah is two types: niyyatu al-ma'mur lahu wa niyyatu al-amal. Niyyatu al-ma'mur lahu wa niyyatu al-amal. Niyyatu al-ma'mur lahu yani al-ikhlas. This is what is intended, and this is a condition for the acceptance of every action of worship. Al-ikhlas, that is done sincerely and purely for the sake of Allah. This is an intention. This is an intention. So this is called niyyatu al-ma'mur lahu, the intention for the one that the action is being performed. And who is the person performing the action for? Who is the person performing the action for? If it's an action of worship, it must be performed for Allah alone and no one else. hoping for the reward from Allah alone, hoping for the pleasure of Allah alone, hoping for acceptance from Allah alone, not wanting anything else. If it's an action of worship, then it must have this intention here. Niyatul ma'muri lahu. It's also known as al-ikhlas. It's also known as al-ikhlas, sincerity and purity of intention. That's not what is intended here in the intention. But although that is no doubt a condition for every action of worship, what is intended here is niyatul al-amal. Niyatul amal, the intention of the action. So this type of intention here, barakallahu fikum, it has a function. It has a function. Wazifatu an-niyya, niyatul amal, at-tamyiz. At-tamyiz with ta'yin, to distinguish and to identify. To distinguish and to identify. So the intention here, it distinguishes and identifies the actions. Are they actions of worship or are they actions of customs and cultures and everyday affairs? So there's a difference between removing the hadith, and there's a difference between cleaning the body parts. And there's a difference between removing the hadith, and there's a difference between putting water on a person's body in order to cool down. In order to cool down. So to cleanse one body parts, this is good. And likewise, to cool down is something beneficial. But these are called adat. These are everyday actions, and they're not actions of worship. They're not actions of worship. As for removing the hadith, this is an action of worship. This is an action of worship. What is going to identify these affairs or distinguish between these affairs? It is the intention. Likewise, with regards to the aspect of actions of worship, the niyyah also, tumayyizu al-anwa', tumayyizu fard an al-nafil. The intention is going to also distinguish the types of actions of worship, whether it's an obligation or whether it's a non-obligation. This is all distinguished by the intention. For example, somebody in the morning at the time of Fajr, the adhan of Fajr has been made. He prayed two rak'ah, and then he prayed two more rak'ah. Maybe somebody could recite the same exact recitation in both sets. And two of the first two he recite kafirun and kul huwallahu ahad. And the second two he recite at kafirun and kul huwallahu ahad. But these are two completely different prayers. What distinguishes them? If you look at them outwardly, they're exactly the same. Two rak'ah, the same recitation, at the same time, basically, at the time of Fajr. But they're different. They're different, and they have different reward. And the responsibility of the two are different. What distinguishes that difference? The niyyah, the intention. So the first two would be a sunnah. They're not obligatory. And if a person, he performed them, he has a great reward. But it's not incumbent upon him. He's not held accountable for leaving them. And the second two are an obligation. He must perform them. He must perform them. It's an obligation. And the reward for them are greater, and they're more beloved to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So that which distinguishes between the two is the niyyah. So this is, in general, the niyyah. This is called niyyatul amal, the intention of the action. So here, the action is an action of worship. So he has to identify that. What does he want from this? He's cleaning, he's making movements. He's cleaning himself. He's using the water in this particular manner. What does he want from that? If he's making wudu, he has to want to remove the hadith. He has to want to remove the hadith. So the intention for what is intended from the intention? Yani raf al-hadith. Niyatu raf al-hadith. This is something that shouldn't be hard. So whether a person, for example, he intended to remove the hadith, or he intended to make wudu, or he intended to pray. In his mind, he didn't think about hadith. He's not thinking about having a hadith in his body. He's not thinking about this whatsoever. Rather, he's thinking about salah. He wants to pray. So if you ask him, why are you making wudu? He said, because I want to pray salah. It's time for Fajr. Is the hadith removed? His intention is not to remove the hadith. His intention is to pray. Is the hadith removed? Yes, it's removed. The hadith is removed. So whether he intends to remove the hadith, or he intends wudu, or he intends to do an action that the wudu is required for, all of this is considered the same. All of this is considered the same. So he should not go to extremes in the intention. So if he intended to make wudu just for an obligatory action, or he intended to make wudu for a non-obligatory action, then the hadith is removed. For example, right now, somebody came in the masjid, he made wudu with the intention to pray sunnah, tahiyyat al-masjid. He, in his mind, he came in the masjid, his intention, he's making wudu, his intention to make wudu because he wants to pray tahiyyat al-masjid. Is it obligatory? No, it's not obligatory. Is it, after that, he sits down in the class, and then the adhan is made and the akama is made for Isha. Can he pray Isha with that wudu? Huh? Yes, he can pray Isha with that wudu. yes, he can pray Isha with that wudu. Because whenever he made that intention and he made that action, then what happened? The hadith is removed. So this is what is required for the prayer. This is what is required for the prayer. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لا يقبل الله صلاة أحدكم إذا أحدث حتى يتوضأ. So he didn't mention, he mentioned that the obligation is to make wudu. So if he made wudu, whether I have the intention to make wudu, whether one he has the intentions to make wudu or to remove the hadith, or to do a particular action of worship that requires that the hadith be removed, whether it's obligatory or non-obligatory, all of that removes the hadith and he's able to do whatever is required for the hadith to be removed with. And he's able to pray obligatory prayer, non-obligatory prayer, he's able to sit in the masjid, he's able to recite the Quran and touch the mushaf, he's able to make tawaf with all of that, with the same intention. So it's easy for him. It doesn't require for a person to go into extremes. And the intention is in the heart. It's not something that is pronounced. A person, he will not pronounce, I intend to make wudu to pray Salat Fajr on the day such and such and such. This is all an innovation. This is all takalluf. This is all going to extremes. And the likes like this. Some people, they go to extremes with the intention. And this is a point where shaitan, he plays with people who do not have strong foundation and knowledge. Yani, and he'll play with them with regards to this. And he'll whisper to them. And many of them, their worship will become very hard and very difficult for them because the shaitan will play with them and keep them in the restroom, akramakum Allah, for a long period of time. Some of them, they'll come out missing half of the prayer or missing all of the prayer or missing takbirat ihram because he's going back, did I make an intention, did I do this, and going to extremes, and the shaitan is laughing at this person. This is not something that is difficult. The people of knowledge, they mention that if we were required to do an action that there's no without an intention, this would be considered that we have been taken to account for something that's not possible. If we were required to do any action without an intention, then this is considered a taklifu bima la yutaq. That the person, he will be required to do something he's not able to do. He's not able to do. Go to the store without an intention. Purchase something without an intention. Yani, go to sleep without an intention. Eat some food without an intention. Yani, choose chicken over hamburger without intention. You can't do it. You can't. It's not possible to literally do something. Yani, without an intention. To a person, he's going to go through his life with intention. He's going to be intending to do the things that he's doing. So it will not be possible, yani, to do an action of worship or any of these deeds, to make wudu or to wash one's hands or one's face or to put water in one's mouth or to stand in the front line, to raise one's hands and say Allahu Akbar, except he has intention. It's not possible. It's not possible. He left his house, he came all the way to the masjid, and he has wudu and he's standing in the front row behind the imam. He said Allahu Akbar, raised his hands to his head, and then he thinks he doesn't have the intention. Oops, I don't have the intention. Allahu Akbar again. Allahu Akbar again. I didn't have my intention. Or some of them, they want to. The intention has to be right with the takbir. Allah, it can become a big problem. It can become a big problem for those people who fall into this. And this is from the traps of shaitan. The worship should be delightful. It should be easy. It should be beloved to a person, not hard. After this, the author, he mentioned the sixth condition for al-wudu' wa inqita'u mujibin. Wa inqita'u mujibin. Inqita'u al-mujib. Al-mujib, yani al-sabab. Al-mujib, yani sabab al-wudu'. The reason for the wudu', or the thing that is causing the obligation for the wudu', is the hadith. Is the hadith, yani the action here. So that has to stop before the wudu' will be correct. So, this is what is intended. Inqita'u al-mujib. That the thing that is requiring for the wudu to be made, it must finish. It must finish. It cannot continue. It cannot continue. For example, somebody is passing gas. And then he starts to make wudu. He starts to make madmada while he's in the, and there's still gas coming. There's still gas coming. He didn't wait. The gas is still coming, and the likes like this. So the wudu is not going to be correct. Or if it stopped coming, and then he's making wudu, he's making madmada, and he's putting the water in his mouth and his nose, washing his face, and then the rih comes again. The gas comes again more. Like, for example, the gas came a little bit, and then maybe came a little bit more. and then he starts making wudu, and then it comes again. So now the reason for the wudu, it didn't stop. The reason for the wudu, it didn't stop. So therefore the wudu is not going to be correct. Or somebody, for example, if he's passing urine, and then he's from those people that after he finishes passing urine, sometimes maybe a few drops will continue to come for a moment. And this is something that some people have tried with, and not everybody has tried with, and not everybody thinks this that they have, that they really have this. So this is something that is real, but not everybody is tried with it. So, but some people are tried with the whispers of the shaitan, and they think they have it, and they don't have it. So this is something that one would be careful about. But the point is now, if somebody had it, and if that after they pass urine, that they know from their self, after that sometime, maybe 1 minute later, or maybe 2 minutes later, maybe right after that, or even sometimes some people that have a problem, maybe like 5 or 10 minutes later, something will come. And it's something that they know, it's not whispers, it's something that they know. So they have to wait. They have to wait till this stops. Or likewise, sometimes whenever a person, he's sexually aroused, the madhi, any of the fluid that comes out before ejaculation, the fluid that comes out whenever a person is thinking about intercourse and the likes like this, then maybe it will come, it will continue to come, and it will not stop for a moment. It will come, and then it will continue to come. Or even sometimes after having sexual intercourse, maybe the fluid will continue to come a little bit, yani for some time. Another type of fluid will continue to come. So a person has to wait till this is all finished before he goes to make wudu. If it's yani from the sexual impurity, before he goes to make the ghusl. Yani so the hadith it has to stop. The reason for the hadith has to stop before it can be removed. So this is what is intended here. That the hadith, the reason for the hadith, the passing of the urine or the feces or something coming from the private area, from those pathways, or passing gas and the likes like this, this has to completely stop before a person he begins the wudu. And if it comes while he's making wudu, then the wudu will be invalidated, because the hadith is something that prohibits the wudu. يَمْنَعُ مِنْ As-salat wa ma yushtaratu lahu. This is the whole issue, is that the hadith prohibits the wudu, invalidates the wudu. So if it's coming while he's making the wudu, this is contrary. He's making the wudu, and then something is coming to invalidate it at the same time. So that thing that invalidates the wudu, it has to stop completely, and then he makes wudu. This is what is intended here. This condition here is in general a condition, except in the case of somebody who has a hadith al-da'im. At hadith al-da'im, and the author, he referred to this in the last condition, وَدُّخُولُ الْوَقْتِ عَلَى مَنْ حَدَثُهُ دَائِمٌ لِفَرْضِهِ. That the hadith it must stop. This is a condition for the correctness of the wudu. This is in general, but there are individuals who are tried with certain type of illnesses where the hadith doesn't stop. And they're known in three main issues, and the first one is al-istihaba. Al-istihaba is the type of blood that will continue to come from the privates of a woman even outside of the time of menses. It's not the blood of menses, it's another type of blood, damul fasad. So this is something coming from the privates, and in general this is a hadith and it breaks the wudu. But if we were to make this condition in this person's case, they will never be able to make wudu, because this is something that's always coming without any intention from the individual. Like the woman who has al-istihaba, the irregular bleeding, is also the one who has salas al-bawl. Salas al-bawl is a type of condition whenever the urine comes from a person, it will drip from a person without any intention from himself, and it will continue to come and it will not stop. It will continue to drip. Yani a person, his organ will drip unconsciously. Either it will continue to drip always, or it will just drip sometimes in a person, he has no control over that and he doesn't know when it will happen. Some of them are more severe than others, but this is a case called sadis al-bawl. So he doesn't have control over that. So maybe he's going to make wudu and it's coming out, he doesn't know, and he can't stop it. Or if he wants to wait to make wudu, whenever it stops, it doesn't stop. Or he doesn't know when it will stop. It's an illness that he's facing. So therefore, this condition is not applied in his case. Likewise, there's another issue called istitlaqu ar-rih. Istitlaq ar-rih, a person who gas is always coming from him. Gas is always coming from him unwillingly. I'm gonna, like, the gas will continue to come whenever he can't help it, either with the sound or without a sound. It's a condition, not somebody who's gassy a lot. This is not what is intended. And if this is a person, he cannot hold his gas. The gas will come from him unwillingly, and it's coming from him a lot. He can't control it. So if he's told that you can't make wudu until the gas stops, the gas is not stopping. The gas is not stopping. Or if he doesn't know when it's going to stop, because it's a case that he's facing, it's a condition that he has. So therefore, this is not a condition in the likes of these circumstances. There's another condition in place of this condition. The author, he mentioned it in the end, and that is that this person, whenever it's time for the obligatory prayer, he will make wudu whenever the time for that prayer comes. Whenever the time for that prayer comes, and not before that, he will make wudu regardless of his situation. Regardless of the situation, whether it's coming out, whether the blood is coming, whether the urine is coming, whether the gas is coming, he can't stop it. Whenever the time for the prayer enters, then he makes wudu. And then he prays whatever he prays, the non-obligatory prayer, the sunnah, he prays the obligatory prayer, he reads the Quran from the mushaf, he makes tawaf, he does whatever he needs to do while having that tahara all the way until the time of the next prayer comes, or all the way until the time of that prayer goes out. So whenever the time of that prayer goes out, his wudu is invalidated with the time. His wudu is invalidated with the time. I'm mentioning it now in general, and we'll discuss it in brief, more detail with some of the evidences, inshallah, whenever we come to this point. But just so that we know the exception here. Just so that we know the exception here. So the condition, inqita'u mujib. Inqita'u mujibin. We see what is intended by this. This is the sixth condition. This is the sixth condition, and this is means that the thing that necessitates or the reason for the obligation of wudu, it has to stop. It has to stop. And this is general in the case of those people who are not tried with the likes of these affairs. As for the woman who has the istihadha, or the one who has sadas al-bawl, or the one who has istitlaq al-rih, then this condition falls off of them, and they have another condition, and that is that they do not make wudu except until the time of the salah, any of the obligatory prayer. Whenever they want to pray the obligatory prayer, they wait for the time of that prayer, then they make wudu. And they will remain upon tahara all the way until the time of that prayer goes out. So long as they do not do another, and so long as they do not invalidate their wudu from another means. Their excuse from the means that from the issue they have, their excuse from the issue they have, but not from the other affairs. So for example, the one who has sadas al-bawl, the urine is coming from him constantly, unconsciously, yani unwillingly, then he's excused for that. So he makes wudu even if it's coming out while he makes wudu. He prays even whenever it's coming out. So what he will do, he'll clean himself first and then make wudu, or clean himself and put something on his private to help keep it clean and keep his body clean. But even if it got on his body, even if it got on his clothes, even if it's coming out in the middle of his salat, he continues to pray, he's upon tahara. He's upon tahara so long as the time remains. So long as the time remains. But if he passed gas, now he's not excused for this one. He's excused for the issue. Al-mahdur biqadri al-haja. He's allowed these affairs here. They're allowed for him according to his needs. So he's allowed the issue that he's facing. So that doesn't break. The urine doesn't break his tahara. Because he has a problem with that issue. As for gas, or sleeping, or eating the meat of the camel and the like, that will break his wudu. We discuss this in a bit more detail, inshallah, whenever the point comes. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.